Welcome to Classical 95.9 WCRI's Conducting Conversations with your host, Mike Maino. 1 hour of music and conversation with notable people in the arts, bringing you the stories of how music has impacted their lives. The show will give a behind-the-scenes look at the guest's background, interests, or special project.
Conducting Conversations is brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, from sheet music and brand name instruments to rentals, repairs, lessons, and more. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.
And now here's your host, Mike Maino.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Conducting Conversations. Tonight, once again, it's time to bring in the Ocean State Theater Company. Amy Turner is back. Welcome, Amy. Nice to see you.
Hello, Mike. Hi, everybody.
Hi, everyone at home. That's right. Amy is here to talk about the new upcoming production of Little Women, a new musical coming into Ocean State Theater. And Amy, before we start talking about Little Women, let's talk about what just finished. Born Yesterday was amazing.
Thank you. It was a great run for us. It's actually ended up being our third best-selling show. And I think probably one of the shows that got the liveliest talkbacks in a long time, quite frankly. And of course, the beautiful set that was helped out by our partner in design, Ethan Allen, was just stunning. So we got a lot of comments about everything about that show. Yeah. I know you loved it.
I loved it. I went three times, I think. And, you know, it's one of those shows that you get a little bit more out of each time. And because it was, you know, basically a comedy, I guess, is a way to phrase it.
Sure.
Yeah. That sometimes the timing is a little bit different. You get a little more out of something than you did the time before. So it was great. And that's just a little interesting tidbit. Whenever you see a show at Ocean State Theater, you can see it more than once.
So it's funny that you say that, because during Born Yesterday, I actually had three different patrons say that whenever they can, they try and see the show twice because, to your point, it's different. And, of course, I love everything about that. my mother used to say that the first time, because she'd only watch me, and then she had to actually watch the show. But I think that it's an amazingly different perspective, and honestly, a great way to enjoy live theater, because of your point.
Sure.
It's a little different, and that's fun.
Yeah, it is fun. And I have a habit of making, I think, most of the opening nights, which is going to be Friday night, so I'm looking forward to that for Little Women. And then again on Sunday, when I watch it for the talkback show, I usually watch it from a little bit more of a technical angle and see what I can pick up and what questions I might have. But that's always fun. But that brings us to Little Women. And you brought along with you the director and choreographer. Ethan Pollini is here. Ethan, nice to see you.
Nice to see you. Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you in the studio and to have a director of a show other than Amy.
For all of us.
Well, it's good that Amy gets a little bit of a break, but not a very big one, because she's going to be in the show.
She sure is. Yeah, she's just... she's on the other side of the footlights this time.
There you go. All right. Let's find out a little bit about you, Ethan. Your brother provided all the furniture for Born Yesterday.
Yeah, Ethan Allen.
Ethan Allen.
I get that all the time.
Yeah, I'm sure you do. And you, of course, are from New York, I presume.
I live in New York currently, yep. But I grew up in Massachusetts.
Massachusetts. Okay, what part?
I grew up in Newton. So
Newton, Massachusetts.
Newton, Massachusetts.
And you hardly have an accent.
I like to think that 4 years of acting school got that out of me. So.
All right. There you go. All right. And when you say acting school, did you start acting in Newton, or did you...
I started acting on Cape Cod, actually. We would go there in the summers, and my dad still lives there. He's retired there now. So that was sort of the first foray into performing and
this
and
was just
theater.
On a beach somewhere, or
so just put on shows in sandcastles,
right?
Yeah.
So Cape Cod, and that got you interested enough to make it a career at that point.
Yep. I went to Emerson College in Boston.
Okay, so did I. So there you go.
Oh, see, we have that in common.
There
look
we
at
go.
That.
Well.
Yeah, so I went to Emerson College in Boston, and right out of school, did some national tours, and moved to New York. And was an actor through most of my 20s, and then sort of started to try on some different hats, so to speak, and did all sorts of different things, a little bit of writing. I teach quite a bit, And lately I've been directing, choreographing. I would say that's the bulk of the work. I mean, for so far for the year, that's what I have lined up. So that's
all right. So as a choreographer, do you consider yourself a dancer? Did you?
Sure. I mean, in musical theater, you have to sort of do a little bit of everything.
Right.
And tap is my strength. That's what I trained doing when I was younger. And when I expressed an interest in tap at the dance studio that I was going to when I was, I don't know, 12 or 13 years old, the head of the dance studio saw an interest and a little bit of ability, and because they're so hungry for guys to be dancers, that she was like, come to the ballet class, come to the jazz class. So even though it was sort of tap was what I wanted to do, I kind of got a little bit of everything, and so that served me as a performer, and now I just kind of call upon that when I'm creating creating choreography.
Well, welcome to Rhode Island and the Ocean State Theater. And you know, of course, that the best tap dancer is involved with the Ocean State Theater. And Joel Kipper is, you know, certainly the best tap dancer that's ever graced the stage at Ocean State.
That's pretty good.
So, yeah.
Well, there you go. believe it or not, ladies and gentlemen, Joel Kipper just stuck his face in the studio window. He's actually here, and he's giving us a thumbs up. So shout out to Joel. Amy, let's talk a little bit about the production itself. And actually, maybe what we should do is set the mood a little bit with some music.
Great.
What will we open up with here?
Let's just listen to a nice little appetizer. This music is, I think you're going to discover throughout the program, it's a gorgeous sort of combination between classic and contemporary styling. And it fits beautifully with this musical. So we're just going to listen to the overture. It's a nice, quick, short overture, but I think it'll give your listeners a great deal of joy.
We have our mood set, and Amy, at the top of the show, I mentioned that you're in this one, not directing, not choreographing, but you're the actress. Tell us about your role.
Well, I am very excited and thrilled to play Marmee, who is, of course, the mother of the four March sisters, who is home alone, so to speak, with her, with
now,
her
are these,
family.
Are these... you know, the mother of the children, like 2 and 3 years old? Because obviously, you know.
I'm far too young. Okay. no, the I think officially the play takes the youngest child from like 12 to 16 and the oldest from probably about 16 to 20, 18 to 22, somewhere in there. So
is this typecasting? I mean, you have children.
I do, actually. Ooh, yeah. I do. They my children are those ages. And honestly, if we really went back in time, I'm probably too old to play Marmee, but hopefully in this production it'll be perfect. But it really is it's great, and I'll be honest, it is not Marmee's show, it's Joe's show, and it's really about this family and these sisters and the men that come into their lives. And I think that
now Joe is J-O.
Joe is J-O.
Not a
yep.
guy.
Yep.
Not a guy.
The Louisa May Alcott's alter ego in this. We've talked a lot in rehearsals about it. It's not an autobiography. It's a novel. There are many, many liberties taken from her real life, but in fact, she did have three sisters, and her father did fight in the Civil War, which is why he's not present. And I, you know, I got to say, it's so lovely, and it's so timeless. And I have to say, that's not a word used flippantly. These women are so current in the moment in which they lived, which tell me it's the 1860s. Yeah. But yet there's such a a way in which they are still very relevant today, if not more so. And I think that it's sort of created a theme, if you will, in our season of how we're having many of the same conversations sometimes 150 years later.
As we did with Born Yesterday
right, and Billy Elliot, which took place in the 80s, and Doubt, and even White Christmas. You know, I think families being away, you know, soldiers being away from their family, and what do you do with, you know, veterans? So, you know, it's kind of been this interesting dialogue that's continued, and I think that Little Women speaks beautifully on behalf of that, that the families just, you know, they stay together and they love each other and they have hardships, and from the outside, they may not seem that important, but anyone who's ever lived inside of a family, to have a child go through illness or a father not be present, or a child fall in love or have children or find their way in this world, they're really big themes. And I'm very pleased and happy to play the supporting role of the mother, the matriarch of this family. And it gives me joy every day to be with these girls.
Well, the big question would be, does it give Ethan joy every day as a director?
Well, you gotta ask him.
So far, so good. Yes, definitely.
Ethan, do you have background with the show? Have you directed it before?
I have not. I have seen it before, but that was my only experience with it up until Amy approached me about directing it. And at first, I thought, what do I have to offer this? You know, a story about basically teenage girls and during the Civil War. And I ended up sort of tapping into my, I've used this term in rehearsal a couple times, the nerdy side of myself that loves the research part of what I do. And, you know, went to Orchard House in Concord and read about Louisa and read all the theories about who Lori is and where she drew the parallels in her life when she created this story. And so as much as I don't have a background with this particular adaptation, I feel as though the last 6 months of immersing myself in that information has made me
now you're
feel like a little bit of an expert.
There you go. All right. Well, let's get to the next piece of music, which is an operatic tragedy. Where does this come into play?
Comes in right at the beginning. It actually gives you a taste of Joe, of where she starts her writing. It's the sort of the infancy of her writing, where she's receiving feedback and criticism from someone in her life. And it's the seed that ultimately becomes her successful writing later in the show.
It's a mean and stormy night. The moors are bleak and bloody. Thunder claps. Lightning strikes. The fair Clarissa, her clothes in disarray, races across the wild coastal heath. Now she stops. Now she runs. Will she escape? Will she be caught? With bold determination, the villainous aristocrat, Braxton Prendergast, marches for her! There's no escape. She's but a child. And yet she turns to fight with eyes ablaze. This noble girl meets his gaze unafraid. She will not be defiled.
Keep away from me, you wretch!
I cannot keep away. Your beauty draws me. Your passion ignites me. I've got to hold you.
I defy you.
Got to have you.
Let me buy you.
Come close.
Don't come too close.
Come close.
Don't come too close.
So close, so close to me. I'll have her and the mother too.
And at that moment, Rodrigo appears in magnificent splendor.
Unhand that woman, villain!
Who are you?
I am your destiny, your bitterest fall. You stole what was rightly mine 10 long years ago. You left me cold, alone and forgotten. Now I'm back to settle the score.
Now, I have to admit that I know nothing about this show, Little Women. I know who the author is in my American history learning, but as far as the characters, and did I detect an accent of that woman that we just heard a little bit, or not necessarily.
Not necessarily.
Not relevant.
Well, that's a question that has come up with the actors quite a bit. And I had said that what I'm interested in is portraying education, that these were educated people, rather than necessarily having a specific regional dialect. So they really are just sort of speaking standard, slightly more pronounced.
Has nothing to do with the show in particular. This isn't supposed to be.
Well, I do think that that song is an example of Joe's dramatic nature. So I don't know if that's I think that's maybe an actor choice of a character choice of sort of, you know, living out these incredible fantasies that she wrote down. And that's, as you said before, the germination of her storytelling really came from these heightened, fictionalized, what do they call them, blood and guts stories you know, I guess we'd probably call it romantic novels kind of storytelling that were very popular of the day, but not necessarily written by women. So so it really comes from this overactive imagination that's really fun. And a couple of the stories are played out as part of the dramaturgical arc of the story. And it's
Write that word down.
Dramaturgical arc.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, and I'll give you a little little taste. So the actress who plays Marmee, which of course is me in this case, like everybody's quote unquote double cast, so I get to play a hag too in one of the stories. So that's really what I'm excited about.
I can't imagine. All right, before we get too far off subject, I just want to say that it does open Wednesday night for previews, and then Thursday again for previews, and then Friday night the big opening. And then our talk back will be on Sunday afternoon after the 2 o'clock show, so hope you all stay around for that. If you would like tickets or information, you can go to the website.
Absolutely, oceanstatetheater.org. Of course, that's 24 hours a day, and you can get your tickets there as well if you choose, or you can call the box office any day afternoon, 401-921-6800.
All right, so get your tickets there. Going well, and we want to make sure that you get in to see this. Let's get one more piece of music in before we take our first break, and this is called Our Finest Dreams, and where does that come in?
So this novel famously begins with a line, Amy lamenting that there won't be presents, and what kind of Christmas will it be without presents? Joe's solution to that is to put on a play. She writes a play for her sisters, and this is them rehearsing for that play. So this is them getting ready for Christmas and preparing in their own special celebratory way.
We will listen to that, then take a short break and be back with more of the Ocean State Theater and a little production of Little Women.
Years from now, people will talk about us. One Christmas Eve, four penniless and ragged sisters put on an operatic tragedy for all of Concord. Filled with blood and guts. Two massacres, a masked ball, and several heart-wrenching scenes. We'll dim the lights, the crowd will hush. We'll start the overture and Beth will surely blush. And when Clarissa starts to plead, Christmas will exceed our finest dreams.
Joe, do I die again in this one?
Yes. Meg, you will die like none before. The world will shatter when your body hits the floor. For when Rodrigo makes you bleed, Christmas will exceed our finest dreams. Now, Amy, as Clarissa, only passion is permissible. This tragedy depends upon the fire in your eyes. And Beth, when you're the mother, you'll be noble, you'll be pure. All hearts will melt the moment mother cries. Let us begin. Aha!
Mother, dear mother, do not cry.
No, Amy. Expression from the heart. Mother, oh no, dear mother, do not cry.
Mother, oh no, dear. Joe, I am teased and ridiculed at school, and all that concerns you is your silly little tragedy.
I know you're tired. I know it's hard. But we will triumph when Rodrigo yells on God. My success is guaranteed. Christmas will be thrilling. Christmas will be gory. Christmas will exceed our finest dreams. I made an important decision today. As you all know, I've been writing stories forever, with much satisfaction, and people seem to like what I write.
We love it, Joe.
Absolutely. So I've decided. I'm going to become a world-renowned writer. I shall write great books and earn barrels of money, and I will give you all everything that you have ever dreamed of.
Oh, Joe can do anything.
But we must promise to remain just as we are, solid, like a fortress. No matter whatever happens, we must promise that it'll always be the Four March Sisters, forever.
Forever!
Come, let's rehearse. Mama, there will be Christmas after all.
Christmas will exceed our finest dreams.
Welcome back to Conducting Conversations. I'm Mike Mano, and we're sitting with Amy and Ethan, who are here talking about the presentation of Little Women, the musical at Ocean State Theater that opens Wednesday. So get your tickets, get in line, get there, get to the theater early, have a little refreshment in the lobby, check out all the posters on the wall from the Warwick Musical Theater. A lot of history there, so you have plenty of things to do, and it's a great atmosphere. If you haven't been to the Ocean State Theater yet, check it out. Bring your friends. It's a wonderful place to see a show. Every seat is a good seat, as they say.
Not a bad seat in the house.
Not a bad seat in the house. It really is one of those theaters that you can say that about. Can't say that about many, but this is one of them that you can. Let's get back to Little Women, and we're talking with Ethan, who is directing and choreographing the presentation, and I asked about other cast members during the break, and I found out that one of my favorites, Tommy, is in the cast.
Yeah, Tommy Lavineris is playing Professor Bear.
Okay, that's great. The Ocean State audience and Rhode Island audiences will know him from several productions. I think he's probably done, well, I don't know, with you, Amy, probably 7 or 8 over.
Yeah, 8 or 9. And it's just obvious, it's dawning on me that Ethan also was in 1776, which a lot of people saw, which Tommy was in as well. Mm-hmm. So there's that connection. And then he was, of course, infamously in Avenue Q.
Yes, he was.
Summer. And a great local Rhode Island artist that we are thrilled to have a relationship with. And it's a lovely part for him. So you will be very happy to see him on stage in this role.
Right. And I think it's important that our listening audience tonight understands that when we say someone is from Rhode Island or Newton, Massachusetts or whatever, it's not a situation where we just took some people that are nearby. You're really getting some of the best people in the country, and we just happen to have the good fortune to have some of these near us. Mm-hmm. But you cast people come from everywhere.
Yeah, and for this production, are the young lady who plays the oldest sister, Meg, Allison Novelli, is coming up from New York City. And although Kevin Patrick Martin, another familiar face to our audiences, is originally from Rhode Island, he's in New York as well. Mm-hmm. Mr. Lawrence, the gentleman Kurt Denham, is from California. So there's people coming from near and far, we like to say. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's great. And Ethan, you worked with Tommy on just one other production?
No, actually, he was in, I've done 2 shows as an actor at Ocean State, and he was in both of them.
Oh, I forgot about Anne Frank. Yeah.
Yes. Diary of Anne Frank.
So Tommy's
another great one.
Tommy's the constant.
All right. Can't do a show without him.
That's right.
Now, other other actors or actresses that you're working with? Are you, is this new experience for you with most of them?
So coming into the rehearsal, I knew Amy, Tommy, and Kevin. Other than that, everyone was new to me. And it's an incredible cast that was assembled. Some members of the Teen Company, Abby McMahon and Bryn Martin, who are incredible young artists, which is something that's, I had mentioned, education is a part of my career. And so I was thrilled that, you know, they get that opportunity to sort of get on the big stage, and they're doing an incredible job. And really all four of these girls look like they could be in a family with Amy. It's pretty incredible. We sit in rehearsal, and
it's hard to find five beautiful women.
That's right.
Well,
we did it.
We should mention Tess Jonas, who plays Joe, who's lovely and has done some ensemble work for us previously. So she is just shining amazingly. Her voice is so gorgeous. Mm-hmm. So that's exciting. And Stacey Morin, who is a local actress who's also been on our stage, is
right.
playing.
I've actually productions with her.
March, and Michael Luongo, who's also a New York City-based actor, who's been here as well before, is coming as Laurie. And I think that's everybody in the cast.
Yeah, that's
I hope
cast.
I didn't miss
10.
Anybody.
It's pretty
small. Well, I'd be delighted to go to another piece of music.
Is it I'd be delighted?
Let's listen to that now. Where does that come into the show, Ethan?
Excuse me. They are preparing to go to a ball. So a big thing about this show and the story that we're telling is following these girls as they mature, as they grow up. And part of that is their social standing in the community. So this is the number that introduces them prepping to go to a ball.
And the ball is what introduces the two men. The important gentlemen of this play into this scenario. Yep. So, yeah.
Here we go.
What will I do when someone asks me to dance?
Just smile and say, I'd be delighted.
Delighted.
Then offer him your hand.
Delighted.
Delighted. Now let him take command.
I'm hardly delighted.
You're dancing like a candle.
No, I cannot dance tonight.
I'd be delighted.
Then you go.
The music is entrancing.
Exotic.
Hypnotic.
The sound of men romancing.
Delighted.
Delighted. And some of them are glancing.
People everywhere.
Elegance to spare.
How can I be sure they'll like me when I'm there?
I can see you dancing all night.
You know, Amy, something occurred to me when we were having that last conversation that lots of times you're the director of the show and you also are the person that does the casting. Now, in sporting life, lots of times I'm going to equate this show to kind of like a baseball team where you've done the drafting and gotten the people, but Ethan, you had to come along and take whatever she gave you, right? As far as the actors are concerned, you've got the team now. Mm-hmm. It's up to you to mold
the manager,
it.
And, I guess. Yeah.
And yeah. Is that a good analogy of the way a director works that is not involved with casting?
Yeah, that's actually a great analogy, and I think that there's a little bit of discussion, and she sort of gives you insight into where she's thinking of going with certain roles. And I got to do, you know, we live in the age of Google and Facebook. And so I got to see some of the people that were being considered. So having worked here before and having worked with Amy as a director and as a producing artistic director, I was, you know, that sort of, you put that confidence in it and just know that when you show up on day one, you're going to get exactly what you had hoped for. And well,
that's a good thing.
The truth, yeah.
Amy, is that...
That's a great question.
Yeah, does that ever come into consideration when you're, you know, knowing that someone else is going to be the director?
Yeah, so different theaters do it differently and different directors do it differently. And the way that we function is anytime I bring in an outside director, I always do have that conversation with them. Okay. That the way that we work, the way that I work, is that ultimately the final casting decision is always going to go to me and my judgment on that. And there's other considerations, housing, salary negotiation, how many equity contracts we're allowed to have. So, you know, it does become a both an artistic and a business decision that has to be married together. And that's why ultimately I always tell the directors as I hire them that decision will ultimately fall to me. And but having said that, I always also start a dialogue very early on saying sort of this is how I envision the characters, but tell me where you agree and disagree. And if I feel that it's really an opportunity that could go multiple ways, I'll reach out to the director and say, you know, I've got maybe a small and round person to play this role, and I also have a tall and lanky person. Where do you see that sort of buying into right. it physically? One specific conversation that Ethan and I had was that it was really important to me as the artistic director that we put together a group of young mm-hmm. ladies to play these sisters. And the puzzle in my mind is that they kind of all match no matter what show you're doing. And you could certainly just be like, we're going to do this with 30-year-olds. You could totally make that artistic choice and it could work as long as they're sort of in the same grouping, you wouldn't have yeah. like a 12-year-old and a 30-year-old right, playing right. two sisters. But so for me, it's really exciting because these four young ladies are, I want to say, between like 16 and 24. So they are truly
same generation.
Age appropriate yeah. mm-hmm. to the characters that they're playing. And for me, the youthfulness, the vitality was something I was interested in. And when Ethan and I spoke, it's one of the ways in which we connected really effortlessly mm-hmm. was that one of the things about this is that youthful vitality and that moment in your life when you believe you can do anything.
Mm-hmm.
And that comes with youthfulness, I think, inevitably. And so that was just really exciting that it was about young ladies mm-hmm. and played by young ladies. So that's an example of where, you know, I guess there's no way around it. Ultimately, it's my decision, but I do try and make sure that the director and I are on the same page. And more so than ever, if I'm going to step back and be part of that cast, I really have to have every confidence that the director is going to take this group of people and happily, comfortably, enthusiastically, and take it to the finish line, which, of course, is opening night, which is what Ethan's job is.
There you go. All right. Well, you didn't even have to take a chance.
That's right.
Oh, wait, that's next song.
You did it again.
Seamless segue.
And Take a Chance on Me is about what?
So in the previous song, we talked about the ball introducing the two gentlemen that play pivotal roles in these young ladies' lives. Lori, who's obviously the most famous of those young men, has a hope for Joe. He wants. He asks her to marry him. Which is not the relationship that Joe had envisioned for them. So this is that song that sets up the proposal.
We will listen to that, then take a short break and be back with more.
I know I have no right, but sometimes late at night I watch you in that attic, pacing back and forth like a maniac. I've never met a girl like you, anyone at all like you. This is very nice. Such a lovely party. The music sounds so thrilling. It makes a person feel like dancing. I'm very good. I won a medal for dancing at school.
I don't dance. Besides, I've got a patch on the back of my dress.
A patch? Let me see.
No! No!
I like it! That patch could start a whole new fashion. Dance with me tonight, and I guarantee by next spring, every girl in Concord will be wearing a patch on her dress. We could do 100 things, do anything you please. We could fly on golden wings across the seven seas. I'll bet you get a camel through a needle if you'll take a chance on me.
You're a lunatic!
We could catch 1,000 stars and stand them on a pin. We could leap from here to Mars and make the planet spin. If you want to do all the things you've ever dreamed of, come on, take a chance on me. We could be such friends. Friends are never lonely. All I know is books. Books are solitary. But I see you every day. How you live in your own way. And you make me want to dare to take a chance on you.
All right. We could box if you like.
You box?
You ready?
I should warn you, I won a medal for boxing at school. Dreams, but only if we dare. We could go to such extremes. There's so much we could share. We'll circle the world doing all we've ever dreamed of. And we'll live in our own way. And I'll see you every day. We'll be the best of friends. When you take
We are back on Conducting Conversation, listening to great music from Little Women, which is going to be the next production at the Ocean State Theater. And Ethan, I want to get right to a piece of music and get right back to the storyline, mm-hmm. because we've gone a little bit long tonight, so I want to make sure we get all these things in. And as the story progresses, we are going to a song called Astonishing.
Mm-hmm.
What is that about?
So this is undoubtedly the most famous song from the score. It is the end of Act One. It comes immediately following Laurie's proposal and a sort of falling out between the two characters, the disappointment that he feels for the rejection that Joe offers to his proposal. And she sings this song about how she wants a bigger life than this small town and this small family can give her. So this is her pivotal turning point, and it serves as the big Act One finale.
Who is he with his marry me, with his ring and his marry me, the nerve, the gall? This is not what was meant to be. How could he ruin it all with those two words? I thought I knew him, thought that he knew me. When did it change? What did I miss? A kiss when I thought all along that we were meant to fight frontiers. How could I be so wrong? How I need my sisters here. If I can't share my dreams, what were they for? I thought our promise that we would never change and never part. I thought together we'd amaze the world. How can I live my dreams or even start when everything has come apart? I thought home was all I'd ever want, my attic all I'd ever need. Now nothing feels the way it was before, and I
don't know how to proceed. I only know I'm meant for something more. I've got to know if I can be astonishing. There's a life that I am meant to lead, a life like nothing I have known. I can feel it, and it's far from here. I've got to find it on my own. Upon my skin, a life of passion that pulls me from within, a life that I am making to begin. There must be somewhere I can be
Amy, sounds like this is going to be another fantastic production at Ocean State Theater, and we want to make sure that people understand they can still buy tickets, and they can do that by going to your website.
Absolutely. OceanStateTheater.org, O-R-G, or they can give us a call, 401-921-6800. The box office opens every day at noon. Or, of course, stop by, 1245 Jefferson Boulevard.
Absolutely. Stop in and just drive up right at the end of Jefferson Boulevard, where it kind of works into near the Greenwood Inn.
Yep, right end. There with the Post Road Bridge. And yep.
Right. And stop in, say hello, and if you stop in and you mention my name, you might even get a piece of candy, but if they have any.
You never know.
Now, Amy, lots of things happen at the Ocean State Theater. We've mentioned about several of the past performances, but you have a lot of interesting things coming up. Tell us about a few of those.
Yeah, so, of course, Little Women is our focus right now, but our subscription series does continue with Inherit the Wind, a beautiful play coming up next. And then we'll close with Victor Victoria, another big Broadway musical. But in between that, we have some great one-night-only events, starting with March 6th. Broadway Spotlight 2 is returning. We did a great concert, amazing concert. concert a while back, the Broadway Spotlight, where we take Broadway performers, some of them on their day off from their Broadway shows, to come up here, five of them. It's an amazing night. So if you love Broadway, you love singers, please come and see that on March 6th. And it will feature Richard Blake as one of those five actors. And he's a Rhode Island native and holds the record for the most Broadway shows, which is exciting. March 11th, our Family Fun Fest continues with a great show called Pirate School. I think that's self-explanatory. Wonderful for the small kids in your life. And of course, all of our Family Fun Fest tickets are only $10. So bring the crowd. On March 14th, our Cabaret Club, our Cab Club continues, which is when we turn our lobby into a fantastic piano bar with a headline artist. And an open mic night as well. That's on March 14th. And then on May 3rd, we're going to bring back the Edwards Twins. They pretty much sold out their two shows back in December. And so they'll be returning on March 3rd. And then we've announced our summer season, which is two fun musicals. First, Shrek, which is sort of that adult take on the fractured fairy tales. And Clue, the musical, based off of the board game, where an audience member picks the person who did it, the room that they did it in, and the weapon. So if you've ever played the game.
Mr. Green with a pipe wrench in the...
In the conservatory, that's right. And those cards get put aside, and the entire evening is spent figuring out what's inside of that, playing the game live, so to speak. It's a musical adaptation. And I think there's like 147 different ways in which it can be played out. So come one, come all. There is something for everybody.
And I think it'd be appropriate at this point. You mentioned Broadway stars, and we've been talking a whole show about Little Women. I think it'd be appropriate to announce at this point, because we have contract in hand.
Sure.
For the American Acapella show that's been at the Ocean State Theater since it opened this fall on September 9th. We're going to be doing our show again there, and we're very pleased to announce that Maureen McGovern, who was in Little Women on Broadway,
and who originated the role of Marmee,
right, will be our special guest with the Narragansett Bay Chorus and the Coastline Show Chorus. And that's going to be September 9th, so look for more details for that coming out. You've had a scoop. It hasn't been announced anywhere else, but right
and
here.
And those tickets aren't quite on sale yet.
Not yet, but
very soon.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, we'll probably have those on sale at the end of, maybe the end of March, but it's going to be a lot of fun. Ethan, I want to thank you for coming in tonight and giving us all the background on Little Women, and nice to see you again. I know we've seen each other before in the other productions you've been in, but in this capacity, best of luck to you as the director of Little Women. And I want to go out with one more piece of music, and why don't you tell us what that's going to be?
Sure. So this is Marmee's Act Two. It's a beautiful song. It's a beautiful song about hope. It's a beautiful song about healing. It embodies the spirit of the whole show to me, because I spoke a lot about how I want the audience to feel a sense of warmth. Each of these characters has their own source of warmth that they need to bring to their portrayal. And I think this song speaks to why Marmee is the leader of that warmth.
All right. Well, thank you, Ethan, for being here. It's a pleasure. And Amy, we'll see you again, I'm sure, very soon.
I can't wait.
Okay. And to the rest of you, we'll see you next time on Conducting Conversations.
Don't make so much of me, Joe. I never dreamed of this sorrow. I never thought I'd have reason to lament. I hoped I'd never know heartbreak. How I wish I could change the way things went. I wanted nothing but goodness. I wanted reason to prevail. Not this bare emptiness. I wanted days of plenty. But I refuse to feel tragic. I am aching for more than pain and grief. There has got to be meaning. most of all when a life has been so brief, I have got to learn something. How can I give her any less? I want life to go on. I want days of plenty. I won't let this defeat you. Must fight to keep her there within you. So believe that she matters, and believe that she always will. She will always be with you. She'll be part of the days you've yet to fear.
Conducting Conversations was brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, using music and the arts to keep your child educated, entertained, and having fun. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.